Welcome to All the Things with Kristen Schindler. We all have things. Doesn't matter if we're married or single, if we have no children, or if we have 10. Things in life can be overwhelming, and sometimes we just don't know how to navigate them. So each week, you're going to hear stories of hope, of inspiration, and of people navigating the same things that you and I deal with day in and day out. Their stories may sound different than ours, or they may sound just like us. Either way, each week this podcast is going to pour into your heart with hope and encouragement. We are so glad that you are here. Welcome back, friends, to another episode of All the Things with Kristen Schindler. I am so excited today to share the space with a fellow podcaster. You're actually my second fellow podcaster that I'm going to have as a guest today, Chris. Yes. So I have Chris Gordon with me. And he is a podcaster. He has his own podcast called Scar Bearers, and he's located up in the north of Minnesota. Do you already have snow up there, Chris?
It's already melting, in fact.
Wow.
Yes, we dumped on last Tuesday, and so my kids got right to work building some snow forts, and right now, as I look out the window, they are the only things remaining. We've actually returned to regular fall weather.
Okay. Well, you're getting a little blessing that fall weather. So, you are a teacher, you're a middle school teacher, you're an inspirational speaker, and you kind of use that platform for sharing your message. And you're going to get to your message here in a little bit, really amazing testimony. But tell us, tell my listeners a little bit about those kiddos that are making the snow fort. Where are you right now, would you say, in your parenting journey?
Right now, we have my wife, Becky, and I have an 11-year-old named Josh, and he is in sixth grade. And then our twins, Seth and Anna, are both 8 years old, and they are in third grade.
All right. So you're in a good age. They're like able to do a lot of things on their own. You know, you're past that baby stage, and you know, that's a good time of the road to be on, I think.
Yes, yes. And thankfully, right now, they can all get back to their activities. So Josh plays soccer. At least he just finished playing soccer this week. And then Seth finished playing football. He's in a flag football league until this past week. And then Anna is in gymnastics.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's good that they're all getting back into their respective sports.
I agree. My youngest, my daughter, she is involved in martial arts. And I have to tell you that it is difficult to do martial arts on a wooden floor via Zoom and not have things shaking in the house. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I'm glad she's able to be back in the dojo, and we don't have to have the living room dojo. But I'm so happy that you and I connected. And I can't wait for you to share your story with my listeners. So this is where you are now, 11, two, 12, you set of twins with eight. But you have a pretty amazing story of overcoming. So could you take us back and kind of share with us, what happened that you had to overcome and really how that kind of propelled you in your trajectory of sharing your story?
Definitely. Well, 5 years ago in March, specifically March 18th, 2015, I am currently a special education teacher for a middle school that's online. And this is before it was cool. I use that in quotation marks because I started teaching in 2012 for Minnesota Virtual Academy because I was teaching an hour away. But then when Becky found out we were having twins, that wasn't going to work for us.
Mm.
So I was teaching online at that time, and I was helping Becky get the kids loaded into the van one Wednesday morning so she can drop them off at daycare and school before going to her own job as a teacher at the local high school. Well, I was flying my young son, Seth, my younger son, back and forth, and I veered too far to the right and scraped the back of my right hand on my garage wall. Now, I've had scratches you know, even twice as bad as this. And I had to go to the doctor, so I thought nothing of it. I put him into the van, kissed them all goodbye, and then went back into the house, cleaned it up, and started my day of teaching. 3 days later, I wake up and I find a lacrosse ball sized bump on my right elbow. I don't usually wake up like that, so I figured I would go into the walk-in clinic. It was a Saturday, so that's where I went, and I had the doctor check it out. That attending doctor said that it could have been bursitis, and I should just keep an eye on it and see what happens. Well, over the course of that day, I started becoming more lethargic. I got sick a few times, and that bump started growing. By the time that we were able to procure a babysitter for the kids at 8 o'clock at night, I looked like the Incredible Hulk in mid-transformation.
Oh my gosh.
My right arm was triple the size of my left. So Becky took me to the emergency room. They quickly admitted me, and we found that there's another wrinkle to the story. I had gone septic. And for those who don't know what sepsis is, the layman's term, or layman's explanation would be, it's an exaggeration of the body to cure itself of some kind of infection. However, the funny thing about sepsis is that alone could kill you. Mm-hmm. So I had my blood pressure all wonky. They couldn't get a proper read on it. And so they admitted me in for the night. And then next morning, the attending doctor at that time said that they could do nothing more for me. This was beyond them, were her exact words. And then she asked me where I wanted to go. Now, I live in South Central Minnesota, and my mind went only to one place, the Mayo Clinic.
Mm-hmm.
Not only because it's the Mayo Clinic, but Becky's parents, Bill and Dee, live in Rochester. And in fact, Bill at the time was a chaplain for the hospital. So I knew that the family, you know, Becky and the kids would have a place to stay for the, I'm sure, 2 or 3 days that this would take to resolve itself. Surely it wouldn't take longer than that. So they flew me, New Ulm Medical Center flew me to Rochester. And my wife, being the superwoman that she is, was already there with Bill, my father-in-law, at the hospital. She drove with a snowstorm on her heels through, you know, 2 hours, dropped the kids off at mom and dad's, and then dad and she went to the hospital to meet me there. They quickly diagnosed me with necrotizing fasciitis, which is also known as flesh-eating bacteria.
Wow.
And so they quickly prepped me for surgery, and while they were doing that, they gave me some painkillers, and they were very powerful painkillers. If you ever heard of ketamine, you have an idea where this story is going.
Mm-hmm.
Before I went in for my first surgery, the surgeon sat down. I was already seated. I was in a wheelchair, so I beat him to it. And he started giving me, I guess, his speech, what he usually tells patients before they go into surgery. He was probably expecting me to be a little more weepy, a little sad, quite emotional. Kristen, have you ever seen True Lies?
A long time ago. Yes, long time ago.
Do you remember the scene where they drugged Arnold and he was in the chair, and he, in a slovenly stupor, told them how he was going to kill them?
You didn't do that, did you?
I was acting all the same as he was without the murder.
Okay, good. No murder. No murder.
Yeah. My record is still clean. I was very gung-ho. I was very, let's go and do this. He was not expecting that.
Right.
So,
yeah, no, that was probably not. And I know that could be very, very, very strong because my son had to have that when he had an issue with his knee out of alignment. And I never had him have anything like, you know, have any kind of like, you know, medication that did that to him. And he literally saw a giraffe and was like, oh, let me touch this giraffe. Look how long my arm is. It's the same length as that giraffe's neck. And we were like, okay, this is weird. You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yes. I could, we could do a whole series of podcasts on the hallucinations that I had. But yeah, so they put me under for 5 days, and in that time, they basically filleted me, for lack of a better term. Actually, I just like that term better. They removed all the infected skin from the back of my hand all the way up to my arm, over my shoulder, to the base of my neck.
Wow.
Down through the middle of my right pectoral, taking off my nipple, and down under my rib cage and up through the middle of my back. And then during the second surgery, they realized that the infection had gone so far into my right hand and forearm that they were going to amputate. There was no question in their minds. In fact, they told Becky this. However, when they got into surgery, the attending occupational therapist saw that I still had hand function. So what they did was they removed a 15-inch by 4-inch flap of skin, or I say a 10 centimeter by 40 centimeter flap of skin for our international friends. And they placed the flap on the back of my right hand and forearm. And since it's my thigh on my hand, I call it my thand.
You got to have a sense of humor.
Yes. Yes, indeed. But when they did that, obviously I had a huge hole in my leg. And they could not tighten, or they could not close the wound naturally. I am a runner. And we runners tend to have pretty thick thighs. They had to remove my vastus lateralis, which is one of my thigh muscles, one of my quadricep muscles. And and so once they closed up the wound, there's this little divot, I guess not little divot, a sizable divot in my leg where the muscle used to be. And now when I go for long runs, that leg tires out a little faster than the right one does. But,
wow. And this all happened within a 24-hour period of when you scratched your hand and when they had to fly you to the Mayo Clinic. Like, that's how fast.
Yeah, I would say within a 5-day period. I scratched my hand on Wednesday. It took 3 days for the infection to really reveal itself in the bump.
Okay.
But once I woke up Saturday morning, that's when it spread like wildfire. In fact, that's
how
they treated it. Was they treated it as if it were a wildfire. And so they firefighters will do what's called a controlled burn.
Yeah.
And they'll burn ahead of the fire. Yeah, they cut in front of the infection. And
right.
That's how they went about removing it. But it was from the time I was admitted to the time they took out the muscle and put the flap of my hand. That was about a 24-hour window. Then they did other things. They started harvesting skin grafts from my legs and my thighs and my back. And I'm usually pretty pasty without surgeries. Those areas where those harvest sites are pure white now. It looks like someone spilled white out on my leg. When I lay in the snow, you can't tell where I stop and the snow begins.
Oh my
And
goodness.
yeah,
Oh.
and the funny thing is that with skin grafts are not only non-porous, but there are very very little nerve, there are few nerve endings. And so I polar plunge like a champ now.
I bet. No, no, no cold for you.
Yeah. But I am still a wimp though. When I can feel it, I cover up right away.
Wow.
Yep. And
so how long, you know, did this process go? Like how long did you end up having to stay at the Mayo Clinic? Cause you thought it was just going to be a couple days and now all of this is transpiring. And you know, what did that look like?
I was in the Mayo Clinic for 65 days. Not that anyone was counting.
Wow.
So a little more than 2 months.
Wow.
And yeah, I basically went in the first day of spring and then I left in late May.
Say that again. You went in when? We had a little glitch. You went in.
I went in the first day of spring and
spring. Okay.
Yep. And then left at the end of May.
Wow. And so there, your wife is with her family,
mm-hmm.
with your kiddos, which that in itself, when they're that little, she was in a very different parenting season.
Yes.
And so what kind of toll? I mean, obviously looking back now, you have a sense of humor of the situation and what has transpired since then. And I think that that is, you know, very admirable of you because there are people that need to hear that sense of humor, because if you don't laugh, then you're just going to cry.
Yeah.
What was it like in the beginning? Like, how did this, did you always have a sense of humor or did it get very dark after this happened? What happened in that time?
When I immediately woke up, I thought I was at the bottom of a water slide. And I was being pummeled by green water. It turned out to be I was throwing up CT fluid from all the scans. I was grumpy then, but once I got a hold of what I was doing there and what was happening, then I started coming to, and that was really the only time I was really confused and angry. It was just because I was really confused and angry and I had just come out of a coma. But when I started learning what everyone was doing for us, you know, people ranging from our family and friends donating money and food to my colleagues, many of whom live in Rochester, they were stopping by my in-laws' house to drop off food and toys for my kids and clothes, to absolute strangers donating hundreds of dollars to a GoFundMe account that a friend of my wife's set up. I don't want to say my wife's friend because it sounds like she only had one friend. She's much nicer for that. But when I learned about all these acts of kindness that were being done for us, it filled me with such gratitude and such humility that I felt that if I were to act out of anger or were, you know, became pessimistic, that would be a slap in the face to anyone who stepped up for us. So almost immediately I developed what I call the attitude of gratitude. And I know that, you know, the phrase attitude of gratitude has been around for a while, but I use the word the because it ties into an acronym I created.
I can't wait to hear it. I love acronyms. I'm an acronym queen. Right. Let's have it.
Well, basically, it's TAG. The attitude of gratitude. And the T stands for taking account of all the good things in your life. A is acknowledging the appreciated, and G is giving someone else a reason to be thankful. And so for the T, I immediately could do that. I could think of all the good things that were thrust upon us while I was recovering in the hospital, I thought of all the big things that were in my life. But then I thought there were almost innumerable small things that I had going for me. For example, my brother, who I grew up in Michigan, as did my brother, because they like to keep families together. He still lives in Michigan. When he found out I was sick, he flew in to Rochester to be with us for a couple weeks. He bought me an iPad. And on this iPad, we downloaded Netflix. And at that time, the show Daredevil had premiered on Netflix. And this hasn't really been covered a lot yet in our conversation, Kristen, but I am an enormous geek. I am surrounded by Transformers. I am flanked by a picture of the Ninja Turtles and Deadpool on one side and Iron Man on the other. I have a huge photo mosaic of Yoda looking at me from the side. So being able to binge watch a show of one of my favorite Marvel characters was heaven for me. Mm. And I also thought about how when I was lying in the hospital bed for the first couple of weeks, I was bedridden. And so I could not really control my environment. The sun, even in the middle of the sky, would not shine in my eyes. And I know that sounds really random, but the fact that I didn't have to ask someone to close the windows, or I didn't have to cover my eyes because it was blinding me, I really appreciated that. And so I made it a point to think of all the good things in my life, as small as I could, because even if they were seemingly insignificant, if I appreciated them, that was a positive in my life.
Right. So the T stands for taking account of the good things.
Yeah.
That's what you said, the T stands. Okay. I just wanted to make sure. I'm taking notes, listeners. So just to let you know, if you didn't get your paper and pencil out, you might want to write these things down, because this is some good nuggets right here. All right, I'm ready. So you're moving on to the A.
Yes.
So the A was acknowledging.
The appreciated. Yes. And of course,
I love it.
Of course, again, this, you think about all the people in your life closest to you, my family, my friends. I thank them up and down the hallway. But then I also wanted to make sure I thank the staff at the Mayo Clinic. Yes, the Mayo Clinic is world renowned and they are professional to a T. However, my hospital staff, my nursing staff, I really got to know them very well. Not only because they were professional, but they made the conscious choice to be kind to me and to get to know me as a person. We became friends, a lot of them. And once in a while, when I'm visiting Bill and Dee in Rochester, I will make it a point to run to the hospital and try to catch them at a shift change just so I can see as many of them as I can and show them what I'm up to, let them know that, again, I think of them all the time and I really appreciate all they had done for me. And one instance that solidified this, this thought that, they are more than just my quote unquote helpers. They are, we are friends. It was that one Monday morning, I should back up a little bit. When you stay in the hospital for a while, they tend to put up a poster on the bathroom door of your hospital room that's labeled "Getting to Know You," and it has all kinds of different questions about you. One of the questions was, "What is your favorite movie?" Well, as I listed just a few minutes ago, Kristen, I'm a huge geek. I love Marvel. I love Star Wars. All that stuff. But I thought of, what movie could I watch over and over again without getting sick of it? Blazing Saddles. So I put Blazing Saddles. Well, one Monday morning, Chris, the head nurse, comes in and she is a flutter. She almost can't talk. She was so excited. She came up to me and said, "Chris, I was at a garage sale and I saw this and I needed to get it for you. And so here it is." She hands me a DVD copy of Blazing Saddles.
Oh.
I am nothing more than an item on her to-do list. I'm just a part of her job. But she thought so much of me that she remembered a movie that was on my Getting to Know You poster. And when she saw that DVD, it reminded her of me and she bought it for me. That DVD is one of my prized possessions. Not because it's Blazing Saddles, but because of the love and the friendship that went into buying it for me. And and so I as often as I can, I let her know how much I appreciate that gesture. And so I try to thank people as much as I can. Even if I have no idea, who they are, at the grocery store. If someone lets me in front of them, I make sure I thank them profusely. I thank the cashiers for their hard work, especially in this time of pandemic. I just try to thank as many people as I can, because not only are they trying to make my day better, but you never know who could use that display of gratitude.
Absolutely. I think that is so powerful. A couple months ago, I was at the grocery store and I was behind someone, so I was waiting for a while and I noticed the cashier. He was a young man, and he was probably, we live in a college town, so he was a college student working there, and he just wasn't very, you could tell he was not very personable to the person. He was just doing his job, going through the motions, and he just looked like he didn't feel well, and I'm a mom, and I was just like, so the other person didn't really interact with him at all, just paid, and I got up there, and he and I said, good afternoon, and he was like, good afternoon, and I was like, do you feel okay? Are you okay? And he went on to tell me that he had had some dental work done the day before, and he couldn't miss a shift because he really needed the money, and he was just in a lot of pain and he needed to get to take his medicine, to get, because you have to take it on, the hour kind of thing. And I was like, I'm so sorry. He's like, yeah, it's just really painful. And it was, I never had to have dental work done before. And, and it just, so many people could have thought he was just being not very personable or, whatever. And I just felt so bad for him. But I think, taking that time to just really ask, are you okay? And I had him like numerous times after that time frame. And I'd say, how's your tooth doing? And he's like, oh, feels so much better, and you could see the light in his eye and the smile. So I think that that is so important, just for us to just, and it's so hard now too with COVID. Like, it's almost like when people put masks on, it's like they become invisible. It's like it in even just standing in line, it's like, okay, I can be 6 feet away from someone, but I can still, turn around and say, hey, have you heard a good joke lately? I mean, you don't, putting the mask on doesn't mean that you can't interact with people, but it seems like that's kind of, what I've noticed, and as an observation, at least in our community. But so that was such a sweet gesture by her. Absolutely.
Yes.
All right. So, what about the G? The G is giving someone else a reason to be thankful.
Yes. Now,
What is that?
well, I was, as I was recovering in the hospital, there really wasn't a lot I could do to help other people out. I did respond to people online, and if I saw someone else with a GoFundMe account, I donated to theirs. But it wasn't until I was discharged that I could take action. And so I thought of things that I could do once I was discharged. So as soon as I was discharged, I started running. And while I was running, or I should call it glorified walking, it was tough to get back into it at first. But once I did, I started picking up trash around the neighborhood. And because I felt that, this is my neighborhood, I want it to look nice. And if someone else can't do it, hey, I'm able to. Why not me? In fact, in my running club here in New Ulm, we every last Saturday of the month is trash pickup. So we'll run around with trash bags and pick a certain route and pick up all the trash that we can off that route. And I have to tell you, during the winter months, it's really weird because you'll find, we found frozen pants.
Oh my gosh.
We've procured a couple of Franzia wine boxes. It's quite interesting, the treasure trove you find when the snow starts melting. Anyway, and so I was thinking of other things that we could do. And, you know, for example, my neighbors on either sides of us here, they sometimes are not able to mow their lawns. And so if I'm able to, I will mow their lawns for them. And I have an electric mower because I'm not really good with motors. And so it cost me not even a dime to go mow their lawn, but it helps them out. And I can, you know, and it's as things as little as opening a door for someone or, you know, help, you know, if they need a, if they need my grocery cart and I'm leaving and they're coming in, you know, now I wipe it down before I give it to them. But, you know, before, you know, I just offer them my grocery cart to them. It's doing any little thing to make someone else's day a little better or easier.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing what you can do if you're just a little creative with it. And I think, you know, we're all so talented. Absolutely. In such different ways that we can think of so many ways we can be creative. And, you know, I found that in my podcast that I'm able to offer people a voice who usually wouldn't have one and give them a chance to share their story so they in turn can help someone else out who might be in the same situation.
Yeah, I love that. I love that so much. It's so powerful, you know, and what I think is so important is that a lot of times people don't think, you know, they don't realize sometimes the power of that act. You know, and sometimes, oh, it's not really that big of a deal, but it is a big of, you know, that big of a deal for the person that's receiving it, because in many ways it's not just the act being done, it's them being seen.
Yes.
And it's that someone sees them. And you know, one of the speakers that I listened to and a couple of months ago talked about putting in your morning practice that attitude of gratitude. And, you know, before your day even begins, you know, starting your day with that gratitude of the blessings that are already evident, that, you know, we live in a life of abundance and this is already what's present in our lives before we even hit, you know, before we even hit the ground running. But he also talked about the importance of setting time aside and writing notes of gratitude to people who've been placed on your heart. And you know, in the world that we're in now with everybody being so busy and, you know, you might send someone a text or whatever, but the fact of giving someone the gift of that time that it took, and even the little steps of like, it didn't cost you a dime to mow that grass, doesn't cost 50, you know, cost 50 cents to buy a stamp, but the time that it took to go through all of that, it's a very, very powerful way of lifting someone else. And you just never know the, you know, the scars that they're carrying. So I'd like you to talk a little bit about your podcast, Scar Bearers. How long has your podcast been going, and what are your hopes for it?
Well, as I was thinking about how I could use my message to reach out to people, I decided at the beginning of this calendar year to become a speaker. And so I started looking for ways to do just that. And in fact, I hosted my own event at my church at the end of February. And I started talking with people about speaking. And then of course COVID hit. So schools were closed. And venues right. weren't really offering opportunities for people to speak. So I decided, well, I have this message to share and I need to keep up my speaking skills So I decided to start the podcast. And as I am one who really can't hide his scars, especially in summer, I figured, you know, I might as well own, you know, I might as well own it. And so I decided to call my podcast Scar Bearers because, we, you know, we all have scars that we either show on the outside or on the inside. And by sharing our stories, we might help someone else deal with their own scars. And of course, being a geek, I decided to take the Star Wars font and create my thumbnail for the podcast with the star, with the traditional Star Wars episode 4 font there. Once you look for it in Apple, you'll see what it looks like. But
awesome.
Today actually is episode 26 that I released. And my hope is that I want to continue my reach. I want to keep interviewing people. And I really want it to become a place where people can gain inspiration from other stories. And I'm also hoping that I can procure some speaking opportunities from it, because that is my love. I want to reach out to people and speak to them either in person or virtually to share my message, to help them, as I say, appreciate their present and forge their futures and pass on perfection and go for greatness.
I love it. That's awesome. Well, it sounds like you're doing, you know, mighty work, and you're definitely have a powerful message of that gratitude. And, you know, I'm just so glad that you had that realization, I guess, of being able to see the goodness and then be able to turn around and be that goodness for others, because I know that there are probably, you know, listeners that are listening today that know somebody who's struggling with something similar that was just completely not in their, you know, viewfinder. They did not see that coming, or perhaps it's something that they're going to be dealing with. And, you know, we have choices, Chris. We have choices with how we react. We don't know what's going to happen to us, but we do know how we can react. And I'm just so grateful for you to share your message with my listeners, because we all have all the things that are going to be coming at us in different ways and shapes and forms, and different seasons. You know, some seasons are good. They're prosperous and things are going great. And then those other dark seasons come, but there's goodness in all those seasons. And I'm just so grateful for you to share that message with us today.
Thank you.
What are some lasting tips? Oh, you're welcome. What are some tidbits, like, you know, last nuggets that you can leave with my audience as we wrap up today? What would you like them to remember?
Well, first of all, I'm going to go back to a tag, you know, remember to think of all the good things in your life. Appreciate, you know, acknowledge those whom you appreciate, and then give someone else a chance to be thankful. And then also, as I said before, pass on perfection and go for greatness, because we are inundated with visions of perfection that cannot be attained they can be attained, but not for a long period of time. We can't sustain it. And it can be very disheartening and exhausting to try to achieve that perfection. So instead of reaching for perfection, reach for greatness. Be consistent in everything that you do, and as you become more consistent, you can become greater, and you might achieve that perfection once in a while, but with that consistency and that drive, you will always be great.
I'm so glad that you could join us today with our guest, Chris. And, you know, his story of unimaginable, just a crazy situation that led to such an immense change in his life. You know, it just reminds me that despite it all, doesn't matter what the situation is and what is happening, we have the option to be grateful. We have the ability to show gratitude. And I'm just so glad that he shared his story with us. I hope that you check out his podcast, Scarbearers, and give his podcast some love. He's got some great things happening over there. If you liked what you heard today and you felt inspired, please go and subscribe and rate All the Things with Kristen Schindler. We really value your comments and your feedback. Also, if you're interested in learning more about what's going on with the International Mission Project I'm doing, you can check out that information at my website, www.kristenleeschindler.com. Have a great day, and just remember, your message matters, and you have a purpose and a calling. So show up strong for yourself, for those you love, and those you're called to serve.